Welcome to the broadcast. Today we're in Luke chapter 2. We'll be going verse by verse here, so have your Bible ready. Chapter 2, we have the story of some people and the places where they lived. We have Caesar Augustus, we have Cyrenius, who was governor of Syria, and then a couple of young people, Joseph, living in Nazareth, and Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. We're going to look at this. Before we do, listen to this message and song, O Holy Night.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of says, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh,
slave is our brother.
and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise his name forever. His power and glory evermore proclaim.
Reading in Luke chapter 2, verse 1, it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Well, I would imagine if Caesar Augustus or Cyrenius, governor of Syria, showed up, they'd find room in the inn somewhere, but there was no room for Joseph, no room for Mary, no room for the Christ child. Not much has changed. Well, we read here, it came to pass. It came to pass. That phrase is in the Bible 453 times. It came to pass. There are minute details, very, very minute details that are prophesied in the Bible. It says, it shall come to pass 120 times in the Word of God, and it does come to pass. In Numbers 11:23, we read, God said, thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. Well, we can rest assured that when God says it's going to come to pass, it will come to pass. Concerning the birth of Christ, it says that they would both be of the line of David, that Jesus would be born of a virgin, that he'd be born in Bethlehem, that he would do miracles. Talks about the flight into Egypt, says that Jesus would be born of the tribe of Judah, that they would be presented gifts. The massacre of the infants was all foretold. John the Baptist would announce his arrival, and we could go on and on with the details that are told hundreds of years before it happened. And the average person today says, well, so what? Nothing to do with me. I'm busy doing my thing here. And never look at the Bible. Oh, maybe get a little warm and fuzzy feeling around Christmas time and go out to some religious service and sing the nice little carols and then go on living for yourself, totally ignoring what the Bible says. Well, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment, and it will come to pass. Well, in the story here, we've got some politics involved here. We have Caesar Augustus, and we have Cyrenius, and there's others in the background. God has always used politicians to get his work done. Pharaoh, he did what he needed to do in order for Moses to do what God wanted him to do. We read about Caesar and Herod and Pilate, and God is using government officials today. It is amazing what is going on in our lifetime that is going to usher in the tribulation period, which is just ahead. God is using the political leaders to bring that into line. Not only the politics, but the place, Bethlehem, it was a little, insignificant, nothing town. He was not born in Jerusalem, where the big shots were. Jesus was born in the little, insignificant town of Bethlehem. Not only the politics in the place, but the poverty. Boy, we see these folks here, Cyrenius and Caesar, all these fellows, they lived in wealth, but not Joseph and Mary. Even the Lord is lying in a manger after he's born. The politics, the place, the poverty, and the persecution, as we said, there was no room for them in the inn, the Bible says. It doesn't say there was no room in the inn. It says there was no room for them in the inn, particularly no room for them. Well, in the story, we have the remnant out in the field. We have the chief priests in the temple, who Jesus said in Matthew 12 and verse 5 were profaning the Sabbath. But we have these shepherds out in the field. God has always had a few people called the remnant who are listening to what he has to say. Well, the people in the temple, they knew what was going on. Remember, we read the story where when the wise men came, where it said, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" We read that Herod gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together and demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they had the facts. Matthew 2:5 says, "They said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." And they just sounded off those Old Testament prophets. Oh, they knew. The Bible says very plainly, those that turn their back on God, they know what they're doing. They just don't want to be bothered with God. Well, as we said, one of these days is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. All those religious hypocrites who are at the temple when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, they're all going to face God. In fact, they already have, but they'll line up one of these days. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that that little baby was and is the Son of God. Well, in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 8, it says, "There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." This insignificant remnant were an abomination. The Bible says in Genesis 46 and verse 34, every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. And if you happen to be a shepherd that really puts your focus on the things of the Lord, you'll be an abomination in the sight of most religious people today as well. Well, the word shepherd is in the Bible 43 times, and the word shepherd, plural, is in the Bible another 38 times. It is interesting that we read in Psalm 23 and verse number 1, the Bible says, David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." It's also interesting that the Lord is an abomination to most people in the world today. The only thing they use him for is a swear word. John 21 verse 15, Jesus said to Peter, "You love me?" He said, "Yeah." "Well, then feed my lambs." He said, "You love me?" "Yeah." He said, "Feed my sheep." Then again in verse 16, he said, "Do you love me?" "Yes." Then he said, "Feed my sheep." Peter was a pastor looking after God's flock. Jesus is the shepherd. Peter is the under-shepherd. "Feed my sheep." Well, this means that the pastor is considered as a type of a shepherd. And it also means if he's doing his job the way the Bible says to do it, he will be an abomination to this world as well. Well, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Well, concerning the timeline, as we read here in Luke chapter 2, it's the first message this world has had from God in 400 years. And he doesn't speak to the big shots down at the temple going through the religious ceremonies. He goes to these shepherds out in the field, those who were insignificant in the eyes of the world. Insignificant means too small or unimportant to be worth consideration. It says in verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even into Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. So we have the shepherds. The Bible says the Lord came to them. You have the word them twice in verse 9, again in verse 10. He said in verse 12, Ye shall find the babe. Verse 16, They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. They said in verse 15, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. You know, it's open for everybody. It's shepherds in the field were ready to listen to God. If you are, Jesus said in Luke 11 and verse 9, And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be open unto you. Make this message and song your prayer. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Ready, my God, thy